Speaker!
Order, order.
Parliament spent another late Thursday night under urgency, Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee, blaming the opposition for it.
I know that the Labor Party don't like working long hours. And that's what's clear. And so in the last 4 weeks, we've added about 2.5 hours to each week.
Mr. Brownlee's opposition shadow, Labor's Darren Hughes, questioned the need for urgency if there was to be no debate on the government's new ACC bill.
Given that copies of the bill were made available to the media yesterday in the minister's briefing pack, even though the bill hasn't been introduced before the House yet, previously a reason the government has given for not making legislation available. So if you could explain to us why we're having urgency tonight, which was set down for the ACC bill, which has been distributed, and yet we're not actually going to be debating it tonight at all.
The real reason for the bill's absence from the urgency motion was soon revealed in the answer that ACC Minister Nick Smith gave to this question from the Greens' Sue Bradford.
Is the Minister telling the House that he indeed does not have the numbers to get the new ACC legislation through, and that's why the bill isn't coming up in the House under urgency today?
Mr. Speaker, I'm in consultation with parties to try and get support for this ACC reform bill, and I'll be having ongoing discussions with other parties to try and get the support in this Parliament for sensible change.
So the bill was not in the urgency motion that the Leader of the House moved on completion of the third reading of the Anti-Money Laundering and Countering Financing of Terrorism Bill.
The Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Mr. Speaker, I move that urgency be accorded the introduction and first reading of the Border Customs Excise and Tariff Processing Bill.
As well as allowing a first reading of this newly introduced bill, streamlining procedures for travellers on both sides of the Tasman, the urgency motion also included three bills in their committee stage. Enough work to keep the chamber going to 10 p.m, the usual adjournment time on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And although there was no bill to debate, there were plenty of questions for Nick Smith about changes to ACC, including this one from Labour's Lyn Pillay.
Does he agree that ACC should tighten procedures to limit access to counselling for those injured through serious crime?
Mr. Speaker, the government is not making any changes to ACC's Act in respect of when people get counselling for sensitive claims arising from crime.
Nick Smith said Massey University research had resulted in recommendations that were now being implemented by ACC.
And I am very reluctant to interfere in decisions on clinical best practice in this area or, frankly, any other.
Supplementary. Why then did two young boys from Taranaki, who were sodomised and thrown out of a window and whose case for counselling was supported by their counsellor and the police, have to resort to their stories being told in the media about ACC declining the counselling they so clearly needed in order to have someone from the government listen?
The Minister said he'd already referred that case to his officials.
What I would ask the Member to do, and others in the House, is not to substitute themselves for clinical psychologists who appropriately make the judgment of when people are eligible for ACC and the appropriateness of the particular counselling or other care that's provided.
There were also questions for Nick Smith's Cabinet colleague, Broadcasting Minister Jonathan Coleman, including this one from his Labour shadow, Brendan Burns.
Which Minister of Broadcasting is the House to believe? The Acting Minister, who yesterday stated the government had not determined to provide financial support to a TVNZ-led bid for Rugby World Cup rights, or today's Minister, who on Tuesday was widely reported and criticised for having said exactly the opposite, leading to a U-turn by the Prime Minister?
The Honourable Jonathan Coleman.
Mr Speaker, if the member looks at those two statements carefully and doesn't try to misrepresent them, he'll find that they're totally consistent with each other.
The Honourable Pete Hodgson.
We all know that he said he had the money on the 6th
order,
of October.
Order,
we all know.
Order, the member. The Honourable Pete Hodgson will resume his seat immediately.
The Speaker, Lockwood Smith, then proceeded to give Mr Hodgson a dressing down.
When the member is called to ask a question, he will ask his question, will not interject like that. I've had to put up today with innuendo and interjection on my left here, accusing bias by the Speaker. And I've tolerated that from particularly the Honourable Darren Hughes in particular. and I will not tolerate this kind of nonsense anymore.
No need, because we're out of time. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program was brought to you with funding from New Zealand On Air.